was sung during worship. The message that the Lord has put in my heart. I really, as I was worshiping and listening to the songs and just, I really believe that the Lord, that we sung the message was sung. And it encouraged me because it shows me I'm catching up to Robin and Amanda. But it encouraged me that the Lord is moving, as I said. The Lord is speaking to us all. And now I pray that I don't mess it up. But before we read Mark chapter 11, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we honor you. We glorify you, Lord. We give you all praise, Father. And we thank you, Lord. You have given us the heart of worship, Lord, to lift your name on high, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We pray, Lord, you just continue to speak to our hearts and strengthen our hearts, Lord. Father, you deserve all the glory, Lord. You are great. You are amazing. You are wonderful, Lord Jesus. And we thank you, Father God. You have permission to move in this place, to move in our lives as you please, Lord. We thank you, Father God. To you, all honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. So we're going to start off in Mark chapter 11. Verse 1, and it reads as so. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, and he said to them, go into the village opposite you, and as soon as you have entered it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has sat. Loose it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, why are you doing this? Say, the Lord has need of it, and immediately he will send it here. So they went their way and found the colt tied by the door outside on the street, and they loosed it. But some of those who stood there said to them, what are you doing, loosing the colt? And they spoke to them just as Jesus had commanded, so they let them go. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So we see here, as I said, this is a triumphal entry. Did I just add an A on that? Triumphal? You can add an A. It's okay, right? Triumphal entry. And before we get into that, I just want to paint this picture. I don't know, can we bring it down just a little bit, please? Thank you. Paint a picture of what was seen during that time, which was a Roman triumphal entry, the Roman triumph. And during those days when a Roman, now here's the qualifications, here's what you have to do to have this type of celebration. And it was an honor that was granted to a Roman general who won a complete and decisive victory and had killed at least 5,000 enemy soldiers. When the general returned to Rome, they had an elaborate parade. First came the treasures captured from the enemy, and then the prisoners. His armies marched unit by unit. And finally, the general rode in a golden chariot pulled by magnificent horses. Priests burnt incense in his honor, and the crowd shouted his name and praised him. I'll stop right there, because then after something happens to the prisoners, and it becomes sport. But it was a big old parade, right? And if you had this big victory, and you conquered, and right, a great procession came through, and here comes all the spoils, and the prisoners, and the armies, and everybody's yelling, and you had to kill 5,000, right? It was this picture of a great victory, something great just happened. And we see that this triumphal entry that Jesus is going to show us looks a bit different. And today I'm going to talk about three words. We're going to talk about obedience, cry, and peace. And we know in this church what that means. Nothing. It just means that if in an hour and 15 minutes I'm still talking about obedience, there's still two words left. That's what that means. So we start off with obedience. And we see the instructions that Jesus gave these two disciples, right? He told them to go, right? They were sent to go and go find this colt, right? He's going to be tied, and go and find them, loose them, and bring them to me, right? Was the instruction, right? Go into the village as soon as you enter it, right? Find this colt and bring it, right? Just go and bring it. Right? The disciples were sent on a mission to go and just trust. Right? Go and trust. Right? If that were, you know, you got to put yourself in their shoes. If that were me, I would have said, okay, what's the guy's name that owns? Right? Pastor, you're sending me for this. Right? Go and get this guy's, find me a car. Right? Toyota Tundra. Just go, right? Just get the key started and then just bring it to me. Well, hold on. Did you talk to the guy? Did you, right? I want to know the details. Right? They were sent. It says, you will find a colt, loose it, bring it. Then he says, if anyone questions you, the answer is, the Lord needs it. Right? The Lord needs it. Right? Hey, whoa, what are you doing? Starting my car. Trust me, the Lord needs it. All right. Right? Get out. But we see here this lesson that it's showing us right here. Right? The disciples were to trust in the word of the Lord. And when he said, go and do this, right? It tells us that they went and they did it. Right? Which is a great example. They went, and when they got there, guess what? They found the colt. And guess what? They started to untie it. And guess what? We might be getting ahead of ourselves, but when they got there, they asked them that question. What are you doing? What do you think you're doing? And the answer, once again, the Lord needs it. The disciples, the command that they were given may have appeared strange. There's no information behind it, right? We want more, right? What do you mean just go, right? What am I to do there? What am I to say? What am I to, right? Just go and here's what you're going to find. They were not to ask for it, but they were just to take it, right? He didn't say go and when you find the colt, knock on the guy's door. And say, hey, you think it's okay if I take this? The instruction says, go and take it. Right? They could have said, but Jesus, think of the consequences. Right? Burglary, theft. Who knows what the guy? Does he have a shotgun? Wait, not shotgun. Slingshot in the back. What's going on there? What are the consequences? All these thoughts could have been going, but he said, just trust and go. And the Lord speaks to us when he shows us in his word, when he commands us something, just trust and go, right? Where is our trust level? Where is our faith level? Where is our obedience level? Do we take the word for what it says? If it says something, Lord, your word is true. If he says go, Lord, I'm going to go, I'm going to trust. Or do we start to stop and question and analyze? As a people, we want to know why we should obey. Right? We want to know why we should obey. We want to know the reason first. What is the reason? And, you guys ready? Is it worth it for me? Right? What's the reason I'm doing this? And what am I going to gain out of it? Is it worth it? We start questioning all these things because we start to think about ourselves. But as disciples of Christ, he's asking us, he asked them and he asked us to take a step of faith. As I said, to trust, to obey. Even though we don't see what the next step may be, we got to take that step of faith. Trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. On Wednesdays, I mentioned Wednesdays, right? But on Wednesdays, we're learning about a group of people that have to march around a city, right? Just trust and march. Just trust and march. 6 days. What are we doing tomorrow? Just trust and march. What are we doing tomorrow? Just trust and march. Obey. Obey what the Lord is telling you. Obey. Have patience. Trust in the Lord and just go. Even though we don't see what the next step is going to be, even though we don't know what the next day is going to bring, we need to trust in the Lord. Obey the Lord. Trust that He has it all under control. Just trust and march around the city and see how I will deliver you. See how I will bring you the victory. We need to trust that He knows our difficulties beforehand. He tells them, if anyone questions you, tell them this. Right? So He knew that they were going to be questioned. He knew that there was going to be troubles ahead, if you want to call that troubles. But it wasn't going to be that easy, where they were just going to see it, find it. Make sure you get my good sight. They were just going to find it and just grab it and start walking away. See what He did? He didn't follow me. That means my good sight is nowhere. I said, get my good sight. He says, I am. But we need to trust. Amen. I love you, Angel. Trust that He knows our difficulties beforehand. He knows there's going to be things up ahead. He knows that there's going to be struggles. He knows that there's going to be maybe roadblocks, maybe some pits, maybe some potholes, as we know nowadays. There's going to be something in the road ahead. Challenges, struggles, ups and downs. But He knows, He says, when they ask you, tell Him the Lord needs it. He says, don't worry. And then in verse 3 it says, and immediately He will send it here. When you tell Him the Lord needs it, it says immediately He will send it here. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly what happened with that man, whether the Lord went ahead and had a conversation or whether, right? But the Lord knows, and the Lord will provide, right? Do not worry, as we know, for your Heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Our Heavenly Father knows what we need. He knows what we go through. He sympathizes with us. He knows our pain. He knows the struggles. He knows the temptations. Trust and go. Trust and continue to go. Trust and take that first step if we haven't taken it. Trust and continue moving forward. Trust. Go and get the coat. I'm not going. That's a weird thing to tell me. No, just trust and go. Right? The Lord has need of it. The Lord has need of it. Excuse me. They did as Jesus said, and all was fine when they got there. They realized once they took that step of faith, once they were obedient to the Word of God, they knew, as it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. Amen? All things work together for the good of those who love God. To those who are called according to His purpose. The Lord is in control. Say the Lord is in control. We need to trust, be obedient to His word, and go. In my life, there was a man, and you probably heard this story, but I still got time. I'm going to say it again. He was one of my first bosses when I joined the electrical trade. He was one of my first bosses, and We ended up in a job together, and we lived nearby, and so we started carpooling, and I still wasn't saved. And every morning, he was a Christian man, and I knew that, so I wasn't very happy that we were going to be carpooling, but at the time, saving that gas money, or even now, saving that gas money really helped. But as we're driving every morning, he would put on cassette tapes. Cassette tapes, guys, are a thing that it's about this big, and it has a thing, and they used to play music. But he would have these cassette tapes of preaching and worship music, and he would pop it in, and we'd be driving, right? The drive was from Ontario all the way to Orange County, and sometimes it was about an hour, and we'd be driving, and he would play these things on purpose, I used to always say. And I would listen to them, and then he would share about the message, and he would, right? And he's my boss. I can't tell him, shut up, right? But he would sow the seed, right? He was just being obedient to share God's word with me. He was trusting. He was trusting and doing his part. He was trusting the Lord. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to share the word of God with this guy and thank the Lord that I was saved. Pastor John was obedient to invite me to a men's breakfast, as you guys have heard that story. He came up to me and said, hey, I was told I'm supposed to invite one guy to a breakfast, and so I'm inviting you. And I said, all right, I'm going. And he didn't know, I didn't know, that's the day I would walk up and give my life to the Lord. Right? He was obedient, right, to doing his part. Trusting and going. Trusting and reaching out. Trusting and helping. Trusting and talking and praying for somebody, right? We don't give up. We keep on moving forward. We are obedient to God's word. Amen? And this colt was needed to fulfill prophecy. And in fulfilling this prophecy, Jesus declared himself to be their king and Messiah. And by riding the donkey, Jesus demonstrated himself to be a peaceful king. When the rulers rode into town on a donkey to display peace, did I say that right? When they wanted to display peace, they rode in on a donkey, right? Rather than war. So they came in, and he came in with this picture that he is the peaceful king. He's a prophetic king. Right? Fulfilling the words of Zechariah 9:9 that says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. Shows us and demonstrates that he is a servant king. When rulers wanted to represent themselves as servants of the people, they rode in donkeys. And Mark 10:45 tells us, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. The Lord had need of this colt. And riding in on this colt demonstrated all of these things. The hour is getting closer. This day starts the Passion Week. And eventually, on, I don't know why I keep pointing there, but on Friday, he is crucified for us. And on Sunday, he rose from the grave, that we may have life and life in abundance. But are we obedient to the word of the Lord? Do we trust what the word of the Lord is telling us? Do we hear the word of the Lord and consider it right and consider it to be true? Next, we go to cry. In Mark 11, in verse 8, it tells us again, and many spread their clothes on roads, and others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They're yelling, Hosanna. So we see this cry that is happening. Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save now. Hosanna. They're shouting, they're praising, which comes from Psalm 118:25, which says, save now, I pray, O Lord. And we got to consider and remember that up until this point, Jesus had told everybody, when he does a miracle, when he heals somebody, he says, hey, don't tell nobody, right? Don't tell nobody, right? Don't go and, right, keep this a secret, don't, right? Don't say, right? When all the people wanted to make him king, right? He slipped away and he left. Right? So up until this point, he's saying, hey, everybody, keep it cool. That's a different translation. Keep it cool. Stay calm. Don't say nothing. But on this day, we see that it was welcome. Both in words and in actions, the people acknowledge Christ as their king, and they look to him for deliverance. And both in word and in action, should be our praise and worship to the Lord. The way we live, not just because we come and we sing some songs, but also in the way we live is the way we demonstrate worship and praise to the Lord. And the things we say, we demonstrate and we show praise and worship to the Lord. Our life should be one of praising and worshiping the Lord. The point of worship is to please God and to do what pleases God and not what pleases us. Right? Can't get an amen for that. But as one commentator says, the beautiful truth is when we please God, we find ourselves wonderfully pleased. When we please the Lord, when we worship and praise the Lord, right? It's not a drag. Drag, did I just say drag? The 80s called. They want their word back. But it's not a bummer. Hold on. Say word. No, I'm kidding. But when we praise and we worship the Lord, it should be pleasing to us. It should be pleasing to our hearts, should be rejoicing, jumping, leaping, skipping, right? Backflips, spinning, twirling, right? Clapping, we hear clapping, we hear joy. When we delight in what the Lord is doing, as Psalm 37, 4 and 5 says, we delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. When we worship the Lord, when we delight in the Lord, we find ourselves in that place of delight. We find in that place of comfort. We find ourselves in that place of safety. We find our place in the place of refuge, in the place of, right? Whatever, we could go on word and word, whatever we need. We find ourselves in that place, whatever we need it to be. Whether it be healing, we find ourselves in that place. We can put up Luke chapter 19. My brothers. We're going to read out of Luke 19. We're going to make a little jump, guys. Verse 37. Boom, you guys beat me. This is the same story, kind of at this point. It says, then as he was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called out to him from the crowd, teacher, rebuke your disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. It says, if they keep silent, the stones are going to cry out. And we see here this cry out, and we see that the Pharisees wanted to stop, wanted all this nonsense to them to stop. And I wrote this quote because it came to my mind, because it happens in my household sometimes. If it's not your noise, it's annoying. If it's not your noise, then the noise is annoying, right? If you're watching TV and it's too loud, you don't know it. But if somebody else is watching TV and it's too loud, what are you going to say? Hey, can you lower that, right? It's not your noise. If I'm cutting the grass and I'm using the blower and the weed whacker, that's just my noise. But when my neighbor's doing it, close the doors in anger. How dare you make all this noise? But if it's not your noise, it's an annoying noise, right? Excuse me. Sorry about that. Jesus was saying, this is proper that they should celebrate my coming. What is happening right now should be happening. And if they aren't going to praise, if they aren't going to worship, guess what? The rocks will worship in their place. This was right that it happened. Nothing and no one should come between us and our praise to God. I'll say that again. Nothing and no one should come between us and our praise to the Lord. We shouldn't allow anyone or thing to replace us also in praising God. A long time ago, I had this idea. We never did it. But I wanted to go get a bunch of rocks and put them on every seat of the church I said, hey, let's put them on every seat. That way when people come in, and they can, if that's their seat, they can take the rock and they can say, well, the rock's not going to sing for me because I'm here. I'm going to sing. But that never happened. But I was like, why don't we do that? Let's put rocks all here. That's a lot of rocks we had to carry in and vacuum after and logistics. But I had the idea, let's get some rocks, let's put them in. And then congratulations, the rock's not going to sing for you today. But we see that if they don't sing, creation will praise. Creation will sing. Creation will worship and praise me. Psalm 114:7 says, tremble, O earth, at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the God of Jacob. Isaiah 55:12 says, for you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. In Psalm 19:1, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. Creation is doing their part in praising and worshiping the Lord. When we see, and we see the creation, the heavens, the earth, and they all point to a creator. They all praise the Lord. They all worship the Lord. And we need to know that we also were created to worship God. There's a song that Hillsong sing. I hope I got that right. It says, if creation sings your praises, so will I. Right? Robin and Amanda sing it too. But if creation is going to sing your praises, so will I. We must not allow other things to replace our privilege of praising and worshiping the Lord, of worshiping and praising His name, of lifting up His name on high. That should be our desire. We were created to worship the Lord, and so that should be our desire. That should be our delight. That should be our cry, that you, Lord, be glorified. The people were crying, save now, Hosanna, save now. But we see that their cry, and most of their cry, was a different cry. It was a cry of the oppression from the Romans. They were looking for a war hero to lead them in battle against the Romans. They thought this is the moment of victory. This is the part he's going to rise up, strike them all down. And who knows what that was going through their head. But they were looking for the deliverer, the conqueror that's going to replace, right, the oppression that we have. They were looking for that. They thought, excuse me, this was the moment of victory. This was the day. It says in Psalm 118, this is the day the Lord has made, shall rejoice and be glad in it. But the way that day was coming was different to the way it really was. They realized that this is not the way I thought it would be. God had the ultimate plan of sending His Son to fight the battle over death. And He doesn't just want us to be free in one area of our life. Yes, He will heal and free that area of our life. But He doesn't just want to give us that one thing and then, okay, go about your business. He wants us to live a life that is entirely free from sin, entirely free from worry, from fear. He wants us to live that abundant life. He wants us to have that spiritual freedom. No condemnation, no shame, no fear. He wants us to be free. Just as He told that one leper in the tent, after He healed him and one came back to give him thanks, and He says, where are the others? And then finally He says, go, your faith has made you whole. He came back to glorify the Lord. He came back to thank the Lord. He received the one thing, but then He came back and glorified God. And in turn, He received it all. He received the freedom. He received the liberty. The chains were broken. The walls came down. The enemy, he came. God's plan was for the Son to come and defeat the enemy of our soul. They thought, come and defeat our enemy right now, the Romans. Come and defeat this struggle that I have. Come and defeat this one bill that I have. He will do that, but he is also telling us there is so much more. It doesn't just end there. Do not put a limit on me, he says. Trust. Go, be obedient, cry out, praise his name, and see and watch his hand move. And it leads us to peace. In Luke 19:41, it says, "Now as he drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, 'If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes, for days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you, and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground, and they will not leave you in one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation.'" It says here in verse 41, it says that as they drew near the city, it says that he wept, that Jesus wept over the city. And it tells us that this cry was not just a little tear that was rolling down the cheek, right? It says that this was sobbing, that he was wailing, right? That he was crying in the midst of all this, Hosanna in the highest. All these yells, all these cheers, it says that he looked on the city and he started sobbing for it. He started crying and he says, "If you only knew." As I said, the people were looking for political peace. They were looking for a political leader. And they didn't know that the Lord was bringing in personal peace. Then, back then, and even now, we want temporary peace, calm the noise down, but we reject the peace that the Lord brings. We say, "Yes, help me here, but no, I don't want the whole thing. Yes, I may need help here, but no, I don't want this. I want you as my Savior, but I don't want you as my Lord. Go ahead and help me, but I don't want to live for you." What is our cry? We see the cry of the Lord was for the souls that would be lost. His cry is for the lost souls and those that will ultimately reject his word and will reject his invitation. Every day we live is an opportunity. And if we have not accepted this invitation that the Lord says to live for him, to make him Lord and Savior, to repent of our sins, is a day that we're wasting, because we know that tomorrow is not promised. We need to live our lives because today is a day of salvation. Believe in what the Lord has. And he turned and he says, "If you only knew the time of my visitation, if you only knew the things that would bring you peace." And we see as he is crying, it breaks his heart that even though God's judgment is perfect and right, his heart weeps at bringing this judgment. And we see that eventually destruction does come to the city. And it's in ruins. In John 14:27, it tells us, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Their cry then was, "Lord, help us from this oppression that I have." And the Lord says, "If you only knew what I was bringing to you, if you only knew the things that brought you peace, I don't want you to struggle. I don't want you to hurt. I don't want you to live in misery. I want you to rejoice that the Lord is with you. I want you to be comforted. I want you to be healed. I want you to be restored. I want you to have my peace." We say, "Lord, I only want so much." What is our cry? We see what their cry was. We see what the Lord's cry was. But what is our cry? Can we all stand, please? Another commentator stated, Jesus came to overthrow the enemy of our souls, which is Satan. He came to defeat the power of sin and death. Jesus came not as a political conqueror, but as the Messiah King, Savior of our souls, and giver of eternal life. So the question that I have, the question that I wanted to share, that in this day, today, the day of our visitation, what is your cry? What is our cry? From where is it coming from? Is it a cry of joy? Is it a cry of pain? A cry of fear? Is it a cry of expectation, frustration, confusion? Is it a cry of repentance? Is it a cry that says, I want to know you more? Where is that cry coming from? And wherever that cry is coming from, wherever that cry is coming from, I pray we open our hearts and we allow the Lord to visit us at that point. Wherever that cry, whatever it is, I've been hurt too much, cry it out. I fear whatever, cry it out. Lord, I'm excited to see what you have for me tomorrow, cry that out. Lord, I want to praise you, cry that out. Shout it out, shout it from the rooftops. Lord, I don't know what I'm doing, cry that out. Lord, I want to know you more, cry that out. Hosanna, save now. Lord, we cry out to you, Lord. Lord, we cry out to you. May your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven.